The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Oh, and welcome to episode 9 of This Thing On. I'm Alex Petrovich, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Lucy Porter.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you for saying I'm fantastic.
I know you're fantastic. you've come fresh from Patcham.
I have had a lovely afternoon in Patcham. I won't hear a word said against it, yes.
It's a brilliant place. They've got the annual duck fair there.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately that wasn't today. So I always miss these things. So, well, I once made fireworks in Lewis. So
you made them.
I did the bonfire night. Oh, right.
That is quite a fireworks night as well.
Oh, it's amazing. It was the most dangerous thing I've ever seen. Just people drink fireworks and a massive bonfire, and they were so cheerful about it. They were like, "Oh yeah, we've only had about 3 fatalities in the last decade, so you know it's fine." I like that about Sussex. I like the craziness.
Yeah, it happened.
I've lived in Brighton my whole life and I've never been to it. Yeah. I've never been able to bring myself to do it. Like that recipe for disaster, and also just the trains is just, it's literally a sardine carriage for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, but then luckily now with Southern Rail, we're also conditioned to those. Yeah.
It's always it feels like first class.
Getting blown up by a fireworks, nothing compared to Southern Rail. So.
Yes.
They always burn fun effigies of people as well, don't they, Lewis?
Yeah.
There was David Cameron. Was it David Cameron and a pig?
Yeah.
And then a couple of, about 10 years, I didn't know this at the time, but when the pig David Cameron thing happened, someone said, 10 years ago they did Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, because he needed to be taken down the penalty, didn't he? Yeah, we'll show you, Nelson. That's
because everyone was kind of really right on about the David Cameron thing, and I was like, well, they're not always right.
No. Well, I mean, the origins of it, because when I told my dad that I was going to it, he said, oh, well, yeah, that's where they burn the Pope, isn't it? And I mean, that's obviously, you know, what in lovely, tolerant, inclusive Britain, basically, they still burn, I think they do still burn the Pope. I mean, I didn't mind because I'm lapsed, but you know.
That's the thing, I didn't even factor them. I knew that they did that, but I didn't even factor it in. I was just like, oh, that's just something that happens. Yeah. But that's not even worth mentioning. But yeah.
No, they do. I feel like we're talking it down now. I was so excited about it, and now. Yeah, there was another unfortunate effigy burning, but I can't remember what it was, and I don't want to slander the good bit. Because Lewis is such a lovely place.
It is really nice.
It's like they just go a little bit crazy.
That one time a year,
It's like when your mum gets drunk at Christmas and you go, we won't talk about it for the rest of the year, it's fine. Just draw a veil over what happened there.
My friend runs a pub in Lewis, and I went over there to do a preview. And we got there, and the pub we went to, we went upstairs and we went, oh, here's the room. And I was like, where's the sound and the microphone and everything? And they go, oh, we don't have that. Is that a problem? And I was like, well, I'd prefer you to have that. And they just didn't have it. But my friend lived in Lewis, who was with me, and he literally ran around all the pubs. And it's literally like, yeah, you can borrow this, you can borrow that. And they lent us all the stuff to have the gig. And like, you know, there were people carrying speakers down the road. Great sense of, you know, community.
They do have a lovely sense
of whatever they do.
They do. So, the Toad in the Hole is, I've only ever played that in Lewis. Have you ever played Toad in the Hole?
I don't think so.
Is that the one that kind of the 2p things you have to bounce?
They are special golden discs that you have to get into the. It's like bar billiards, except you just throw things. It's tremendous. I heartily recommend it to any listener.
I think that's a This Thing On day out.
It is, Toad in the Hole competition.
Well, they do. They do like the World Championships, which is people from Lewis and surrounding villages.
From that pub and the next door house.
Yeah, when they say World Championships, is it like the Baseball World Series in America where only America can participate?
Exactly that, yes. Yes, it's a very niche sport, but that's lovely. And what else about Lewis? Lewis FC, a community-owned football club.
Yep, Patrick Marber.
Indeed.
No, I've been... It's a... it's a quaint little place. I love Lewis. I just, but I've done.
What a review.
Quaint.
Quaint.
This thing on.
Five stars. But I've done some gigs in places like that where they weren't as helpful.
Yeah.
Literally, it was like a karaoke mic off a PlayStation just shoved into a portable amp.
I know, I did one once where, I can't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in this neck of the woods. And I turned up and I was comparing and the mic kept cutting out. And so, you know, I said, not unreasonably to the organiser, do you have a backup mic or anything? She said, no. She said, no, do you know what? It's funny. The mic was doing this last month as well, but I kind of just hoped it would have sorted itself out. Yeah. But yeah, that's not really how technology works, is it?
The microphone has been like making funny yellow lights, but I thought it'd just fix itself after a few.
Yeah, we electrocuted a couple of the acts last month, but, you know, easy come, easy go. There's a lot of open spots these days, so, you know. It's
supply and demand.
I did a gig with a radio mic and then it picked up the taxis driving past, so you just hear the
classic
taxis. And then I did it 8 months later and it picked up the taxis driving past.
Some of those taxi drivers were wanting open spots. Yeah. I'm going to do my best
stuff.
Oh,
they were funny.
People walking out because they can hear a taxi's free outside. Going past.
Yeah, the things you're presented with sometimes where you do turn up and the lighting as well. I mean, not only the sound, but the I've done gigs where they get like a table lamp and shine it in your face like some kind of awful North Korean interrogation scenario. And I've done them where someone once, the lights had gone and they gave me a torch to hold under my face.
Like a ghost.
The most terrifying, you know. And at my age, there are certain things I don't wish to highlight. Up lighting is not my friend. So you do think if you're going to run a gig, basic stuff.
Yeah.
They have to be able to see and hear you. But it's surprising how many people don't consider that to be a priority.
I did one quite recently where the lighting was, it was literally like, it was a lamp was the light and it was at the back of the stage lighting the back of our head. So from the back of them, every action looked like a silhouette. Every punchline where a facial expression was required was just null and void.
Yeah. Imagine I'm shocked.
God.
Yeah, that is a weird, because you know, like when you get people up on stage sometimes, the thing they always say is, oh, I didn't realise that you can't see the audience. Because at most gigs, you know, you can see maybe the front couple of rows. And I don't think I've ever been in that situation where they've turned it round on the audience so they can't see you. I quite like the idea of that as an experimental.
Yeah, there is comedy in the dark, isn't there?
Yeah.
Hey, there is.
Yeah. And there's also a gig where you do a, what's the one where you do a gig, but you're in a separate room, like a green room, like we're in now, and you're on a video camera, and the audience can see you on a big TV screen, but you can't hear any of their reactions, so you're just doing your material, but you don't know if they're laughing or not.
Wow.
So all the timing's all strange.
Why would anyone do that?
I've only heard about it. I've not seen it.
Is that in this country?
Yeah.
You'd have to get someone in the other room to hold your like recorder or whatever, recording device.
Yeah, and then you'd know how it went. Yeah, that would be awful.
Yeah.
Thinking you'd absolutely stormed it and then just listening to the door going, wanker!
That's true. It completely eliminates death. Everything.
I'd probably do that gig and thought, oh, preferred it in my own room.
Just walk in. You're welcome. Thank you very much. I'll see you later. That was awful. That's funny.
Give a thank you out to Comedia, where we're hosting this today in a room that can bit of a sauna, but we're it's very kind of them to host us. Great venue as well. Joe said earlier before we started recording that he was looking forward to seeing something here.
I was looking forward to see something here. I was also standing outside with Al a minute ago, and we were standing just outside the door, the front door, and I just went, I love it here.
Oh, sweet.
I feel home.
Oh. Do you know, I feel like that every time I come to Brighton. I have that little moment of driving in and going, it's this place. Oh, I do. I like it here.
Or when the train pulls in and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
The bars will still be open. But that's probably just me. But
or at least that shop next to the station where you can buy a can of cider.
Right by the taxi rank. Joe's night in.
29.
Yeah. It's gone up.
This bloody country.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to seeing anyway?
I'm hoping that they play in the cinema, and I pretty much know that they will. The new Louis Theroux Scientology film.
Oh. Oh, I don't know about
the trailer. Looks really, really good. It's basically just Louis Theroux annoying Scientologists, but that'll be fine.
I could never get enough of Scientology. I could watch Scientology films day in, day. That Going Clear was so good.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, I'm absolutely fascinated by it. I really am. Travolta completely fascinates me. All of them. Because it's like that era of big star, like Tom Cruise and Travolta, that was kind of when I was a girl. Like we all fancied Tom Cruise so much. And if you could flash forward and say, by the time you're grown up, he is going to be the weirdest man on the planet. It would have been so heartbreaking when we were watching him with his top off in Top Gun playing volleyball. And it's, I would love to. I mean, it's not that far away. East Grinstead either, is it? We could go. We could all go. It's another day trip. We'll go and hang out with the Scientologists.
Just do a tour of the local areas. Yes.
I hope to God that Louis Theroux does what? Which guy was it? It's not John Starkey. I'm thinking of someone else. That BBC interviewer.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Who went crazy. Absolutely mental with this guy. But he did a later documentary to try and save face because he was proper screaming at him. He was going, this Scientology guy, because they know how to like wind you up.
It turned out that they had been stalking him.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd been under surveillance. He knew that they were monitoring him. I mean, it's absolutely terrifying. I mean, I really wish we hadn't started having this conversation. I'm now slightly paranoid.
What a great religion.
Did I mention how much I love Scientology? The reason I enjoy hearing about it.
I'm a little bit suspicious of producer Al, because he just put some headphones on. Like, they are on to us.
I'm not actually
hearing
you.
This thing brought to you by...
Yeah, I'm not hearing you in these. I'm hearing the instructions. Yeah.
They know too much.
David Miscavige.
We love you, Tom.
I'd like to say we love Scientology and the Illuminati and everybody in the show.
Please don't stalk us.
They could. I don't know. That's not like, I don't think they've had that much of a grand scheme. All you'd have to do is like withdraw £1,500 from my bank account. I'm done. It's
we are
over.
Very easy to...
Less than that. I'd be overdrawn.
The Louis Theroux, I met him at Christmas, which was a fulfilment of a very long-held dream.
That's my dream.
He was amazing. He was so... Because we did a Christmas University Challenge, the University Challenge for old people, and he was like... Because quizzing is my big hobby and my passion, and he's like my new quizzing hero, because he was just every question... His brain must be just like an incredible index of everything that's ever happened in the world, ever. He's just a genius.
Is he really, really nice as well?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that he'd be really nice.
I know, I would like to put about that he's an absolute bum.
Yeah. Absolute nightmare. But,
Scientology.
He's a Scientologist. Kept preaching it.
Twist.
But I love to see documentary makers. That is what I should have been, actually. I really wanted to be an anthropological documentary maker, and I sort of wish I'd pursued... I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be sitting here now in the splendour of the backstage area of the Commedia, but I love, like, Nick Broomfield and Theroux, and I mean, that's my favourite thing to watch, is a really interesting documentary about something awful. The awful, like the Louis Theroux prison ones, so awful.
Yeah, they are awful. And a really good one, I don't know what you've probably already watched, the one about Mount Everest. It's not Nick Broomfield or Louis Theroux.
Oh, no.
But it's really, really interesting. It's about, I've done some stand-up about it, but that's completely separate to this. But I...
no, do your material. Go on.
Over to Joe for a five.
Hey! But it's about... Basically, there was a film made called Everest, and it's the story of that, but better. So it's like long. It's like a longer version. That film is crap.
Okay.
But it's like the longer version of that. And it's basically about how people, once you get to a certain point of the mountain, everyone is your, like, everyone will leave you. Like, if you can't walk, then you're not... like of value to anyone, and they're really like flippant about it as well. They're not like there was this this woman, and she was like I stayed with her for a bit, but then, you know, you just got to go down the hill, and you're just like, you are an awful cunt.
But what would we do? That's the beauty of it, isn't it?
What would you do? Well, I would not be there.
Exactly.
It is insane.
Correct answer. Yes.
No, so it's really interesting. You should watch it, because I've watched it about 17 times now. To the point where my ex-girlfriend used to walk into the room and go, Why are you watching it again?
This is why she's your ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Everest came between the mountain.
It's just the Mount Everest stuff.
It's funny how you can get obsessed with those sort of... I watched one recently about heroin in Cape Cod, or it's somewhere there anyway, you know, sort of somewhere in that bit of America. And it was so awful, and it follows all these heroin users, and you're sort of playing that game of going, oh God, please don't die, I really like you.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of them are going to die, and the awful thing is, a bit like Everest, I was kind of going, well, if one of them has to die, let it be that one, because I don't like them as much as the others, which is, I'm not proud of myself for those thoughts. But and then I then got really interested in American prescription drugs. I mean, I'm always interested in prescription drugs. but yeah, they really, you know, once you watch a really, really good documentary in a way that, you know, they do really kind of inspire you to go and find out more, don't they?
I got quite into musical documentaries, and one I really liked was...
I thought you were going to say prescription drugs.
I thought this is a good time to bring it up. no, there was one I really liked about, which was a documentary about the history of the Beach Boys, and that sort of music that's so like...
Oh,
but the
yes.
dark stuff and like the whole kind of... Because their dad was like an absolute... He sold the rights to all their songs for like $10 or something ridiculous like that. And then it just... behind that music is just so much stuff going on. Like, I saw Brian
all of
Wills.
That sunny California girls stuff on the surface, and then
it's just. And these days, Brian Wilson, I saw him at the Palladium, and I'm not even sure he knew what was going on. He wasn't playing for the majority of it, but his singing as well, still just.
He's
a very talented man.
I've seen him at a festival a couple of times. He's still... The thing about Brian Wilson is he may be getting on a little bit, but he's still got loads of really good musicians all around
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
The show's always still fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what I intend to do in the coming years, is just surround myself. I'll just get a load of younger comedians. I'll just sit on stage with a gin going, anyway, this is a joke I wrote in 1978. There you go. If you could tell it for me, Alex. Thank you.
What I always think about that, these people, is that not only are they talented, but they did it all completely fucked.
Yeah,
all the time.
That's so true. Yeah.
And I did a couple of the late night shows during the Fringe, which are, you know, but I was drunk, but I could tell, and I was shitter.
It's never a good idea. No. I mean, I've done some terrible. I went on at Madame JoJo's in Soho, which is now shut. Possibly as a direct result that I did that. But it was just, and it was, what was so awful was that I could feel the car crash happening and couldn't turn the wheel and I just didn't know how to get off stage. And I thought, well, I can't get off stage without a laugh, but, you know, no laugh will ever come. So we're just going to have to stay here forever. And I would still be on that stage if they hadn't closed down that venue. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. I don't know how people manage, because a lot of comedians, Robin Williams, I remember once seeing the most amazing footage I've ever seen of a death at a gig, where he went out and it was somewhere like the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, it was enormous. And it was the very height of his cocaine addiction. And the crowd, when he walked on stage, they are going nuts, you know, oh my God, it's him, you know, whoa. And Americans as well.
So
ramp that up to 112. And then he just is completely incoherent and quite abusive.
Jesus.
And is, I don't know if we're allowed to swear on this particular, but he's just sort
of
going, fuck you. And you just, the sound of that many people sort of laughing, thinking it's a joke, realising, hang on, no, it's not a joke. Oh my God, this is all he's going to do. And it takes like a few minutes and it goes in waves of people just kind of going, what are we going to do? And then they start booing. And it's as a comedian, you just go, God, that's a phenomenal death.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely self-inflicted, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you sort of think, well, at least the drugs would take away, take the edge off the death.
It's like doing that gig where you're in the green room and you can't hear what's going on.
Yes, yes, yes. The green room of your own mind.
I'm sure he got back to his actual green room and everyone's like, you smashed that
wrong. Yeah, yeah. They were lapping it up.
Did you see the standing ovation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing about Hollywood. It's always honest.
Weren't they going boo? No, they're going woo. Woo!
I did a gig once in Edinburgh, actually. This is coming back to me now. Oh, my God. And it was a really late one. And I got on stage at about 2:30 in the morning, so I had no one had any mean business being there. But and I just started a routine and then realised I have already done this routine.
Oh my God.
In this set to these people. But the really amazing thing was about half of them didn't notice.
Did you go through with the rest of that routine? Or did you stop?
I then explained what was happening and then started it again in some kind of looping. Let's see if we can just loop this comedy.
When you're doing however many gigs in a day, you're going to say the same shit over again.
I know, but that's it. Because, I mean, at that point, when I was still very young and keen, I mean, in Edinburgh, I would do 6 or 7 gigs a day, you know. I mean, I don't know how I did it now, but yeah, you're bound to. And there's, I mean, I've done it even just doubling up where you're on stage and not really sure, and you think, I'll just start saying it, and then they, you know, I'll gauge by the reaction whether I've
done
it.
They look confused. Yeah. I do believe it's time for our first feature. Into
obscurity. I kind of wish that there was like dramatic music for this bit, but don't worry about it.
Just like strings and quite sharp orchestral,
like samba music. No.
Okay.
No.
Dramatic samba.
Dramatic samba.
This is the thing, Joe. Like, we do have quite dramatic sting for this section. But if you want, I can play some on my phone.
Basically,
what you're doing to give you some atmosphere.
Can I translate that for you? He came up with those stings. You're insulting them. Shut up.
Love the stings. So anyway, right. Okay. So your film was the Apartment. Is it your favourite film?
I would say my favourite film of all time. But I haven't actually watched it for quite a long time. So when I submitted it and I said it's my favourite film, I thought, do you know what? I must remember to refresh my memory, and completely failed to do so.
Don't worry.
So I, as producer, also failed to remind you to actually watch the film.
Yeah, no, I mean, between us. But anyway,
people have got, this is the same, look, what did we say? We're on podcast 9? This is the 9th time.
Everybody done that. Yeah, I know.
And it's fine because you can't expect people to watch it, you know.
Well, when I did Celebrity Mastermind and I chose Steve Martin as my specialist subject. And then I got to like 2 days before and I thought, oh gosh, I should probably rewatch his films. And then I realised how many films Steve Martin has done. And 2 days is not, you know, even back to back, you are struggling to fit in
all
of the Parenthoods and the, because there's all the ones you remember and then you go, oh God, and there were all the terrible ones.
Oh, yeah. He's done Cheaper by the Dozen and Cheaper by the Dozen too.
Yeah. I don't think I ever, I was fairly confident that nothing would come up about Cheaper by the Dozen. And I was vindicated in that belief, so it was fine.
Until you get to Mastermind and go, and Lucy's specialist subject, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Damn, I forgot I'd been so niche.
Also, it'd be difficult to watch that many films, even if you could make the amount of films. You're not going to take in any of that information if you're just doing it the whole time. But yeah, so The Apartment is... Why don't you explain a little bit about the plot for people who haven't seen it.
So The Apartment is a beautiful Billy Wilder romantic comedy, and it Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine are the romantic leads, and it's quite a dark film, so...
I wasn't expecting it to be as dark as it was.
No. For a rom-com, you know, this is what I think, if I were to make a rom-com, and I hope one day to do so, to give it that level of darkness and for there to be... I mean, I don't want to... How do we feel about spoilers? I mean, you know, are we going to dissect the film?
We're going to dissect it a little bit. Basically, there's a point in the questions where you get a big plot twist. So,
okay,
I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Should we do the questions and then discuss it afterwards?
Yeah, cool. No worries. So, question one for Lucy Porter on The Apartment is... What floor does Calvin Clifford Baxter work on?
Oh, no.
You could guess it. It's only numbers.
It's only numbers. And he goes up the... I mean, so Fran is the elevator attendant.
Yep.
And that elevator goes up quite a long way. I would say it probably goes up I think he works on the 21st floor.
So close. The 19th floor.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's all right. There's always a difficult one to start.
Okay. Oh, well, if that's difficult, I mean, it was only numbers, as you say.
Yeah, there you go. This one is question two. Question two comes after question one.
Only numbers, Joe. Only numbers.
Only numbers. Struggling. What do most people call... hang on, wait there. Calvin Clifford Baxter. He's got a nickname.
Is it not just Baxter? Hang on. No, maybe. Okay, hang on. No. I was going to say Bullet Baxter. That's Grange Hill. I really am mixing up all the stuff.
I'll give you a clue. It's the guys who all go around to her boy's apartment.
To the apartment, yeah.
It's the
Bachelor.
No, it's Buddy Boy.
Buddy Boy. Oh, God.
Basically, I'm going to explain a little bit about the plot. This guy works in a big building in New York, and all his bosses take advantage of him and go around and take their mistresses to his apartment with hilarious consequences and some really, really dark ones.
Yeah.
Question three. Okay, when Baxter thinks he's getting a promotion, what does the lift attendant, Fran, give him to smarten him up?
I really should have watched this again, shouldn't I? Does she give him... It's quite key to the plot, or it's quite key to the film. For a flower?
Yes, that's a flower. That is a flower. Well done.
One out of three.
One out of three. This is shocking.
How many questions are there?
I tell you what, if I do Celebrity Mastermind again, I'm definitely not doing The Apartment. Well, I'll watch
Steve
it again.
Steve Martin film.
Yeah, yeah. I should have picked that. But... Yeah, although then it would be more embarrassing if I didn't get any right, wouldn't it?
There is... I never remember how many I've done. Oh, I've written them all on the same thing. So there's around seven.
Okay.
Should we say there's around seven?
Yeah, wow. Seven-ish. Six and eight.
So I'm still...
Did they say that on Mastermind?
A couple more to go.
John Humphreys is there, just go on his phone, going, oh, no. Oh, I did it in a different note.
Oh, no. The font's all mixed up.
I did. I tell you what I did. I put it, because I always put it in notes, and I never put them in the same note. And I thought, well, that'll save time, because you can just scroll down. But no, it is actually quite confusing.
Yeah.
So, question four. When Fran meets Mr. Sheldrake in a bar to discuss their recent affair before going to the theatre with Baxter for the first time where she stands him up, she orders a drink. What drink is it?
Oh, is it a Singapore Sling? No. You're looking at me like it's a cocktail of some description.
You're right, yeah.
Oh, is it a Slippery Nipple?
It's a frozen daiquiri.
It's a frozen daiquiri. Oh.
So that's one out of...
Four.
Okay, cool. Right.
It depends how many questions you've got left. If it's seven questions, then still plenty of time to bring this one back.
Yeah, it's mathematically possible, if unlikely, that I could have a win here. Okay.
I am starting to worry about the hardness of these questions.
Yeah, that's okay. Humiliate me, I don't mind.
That's why we like to get people on this podcast.
Well, send me home a broken woman.
Mastermind didn't do that.
No, it was my favourite film, but now I can never watch it again because of the shame, the burning shame.
There's a flat. You got 1 point, and I think I'm hopeful that this is going to be
Come on, don't
good.
Build it up, just tell me.
When Baxter buys a new hat to impress Fran, what model does he say it is?
Oh.
Bear in mind he's just had a promotion.
The executive.
Yep, the executive model. I'm taking it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's 2 points. Question five.
Five-ish.
Six-ish. Thank you. Yep, cool. Okay, question number six. Mm-hmm. What does Sheldrake give the elevator lady, which is Miss Kublik, who is
Kublik,
also Fran.
Yeah.
As a Christmas present?
Oh.
Typical present from a husband to his mistress.
Yes, it's something...
She buys him something thoughtful.
And he buys her... Yeah. Oh, that's going to annoy me. No, I don't know.
$100.
Yes. I was going to say money, but yeah. Aww.
Question seven.
Oh, it's so sad. I'm just feeling sad thinking about it.
I don't feel sad. I've bummed you out.
Yeah.
With my complex
It was my fault. I chose the film, so I don't really blame you.
Well, okay, cool. Well, we got one left, and it is an uplifting question. After Fran's suicide attempt, what card game do her and Baxter play?
Oh, they play...
Could guess this one.
Gin Rummy.
Bang. There
they
you
play
go.
Gin Rummy, and then they say at the end something about we'll send him a cake at Christmas.
Yeah, fruitcake.
Send him a fruitcake at Christmas. Yeah,
3 out of 7.
3 out of 7.
That's respectable.
Wait,
we don't know how Joe's going to do yet.
Oh, no, it's Joe to me.
Okay, so.
Yeah, you see what he does to my questions. My film this month is a newish film, a horror film called Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, I've never seen it.
It is ridiculous. It's the same director as Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, great.
So it's kind of got that sort of, it's a horror, but it's sort of funny as well.
Great.
It's kind of got that sort of a kind of dissects horrors and kind of plays on the sort of traditional things you get in horror films.
Fair enough.
With a very generic horror name. So that sort of combination of the two.
Cabin in the Woods. Question one.
Ooh, here we go.
Come straight into it. What colour is the car?
Oh, my lord.
What colour is the stoner's car when he arrives smoking a bong?
It's a red maroon kind of colour.
Yeah, I've got red. You're on one for one.
Cool. Wow.
Oh, wow. Joe, how many questions? Is it 7 questions again?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, question two. Who is the only person that chooses not to gamble? So, they're all betting on the thing.
Oh, it's the security guard.
He's actually a soldier. What's his name?
Oh, come on.
Is it Flint?
It's Truman. Close.
Yeah. That was close. Yeah, it's along the same line.
I love guessing when I haven't seen the film. This is more fun for me.
If you get them wrong, Lucy's allowed to
guess. Yeah, I think you should throw them over to someone who's never seen it, definitely.
Double points for everyone.
She was closer than I was.
Okay, one of the teens makes out with a dead animal's head on the wall. What animal is it?
Wolf.
Well done.
Nice.
It's a real wolf's head, and they coated the tongue in sugar, so it was more bearable to do that scene.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
No, it would then put you off sugar. What a great diet tip
that
is.
And now she no longer has sugar.
You've really gone deep on this one, haven't you? You've been watching DVD extras. Okay, question four. How do they end up going down into the cellar?
Truth or dare?
Yep, there you go. Truth or dare? Question.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even catch that. That was the right answer. I was like, it's almost like you said that, and he said truth or dare, and you're like, okay, let's
okay, let's stop into obscurity.
New feature for next month: truth or dare.
What is the name of the girl's diary they read?
Oh,
it's quite difficult. That felt like a right twat.
Her name, or is she given a diary a name?
Her name.
Oh, okay.
And it's a wrong turn style hick America.
Okay.
Prudence.
No, Anna Patience Buckner.
Oh. Okay. Well, you said it before we let Lucy have a guess.
I was going to say Anna Patience Buckner.
Yeah,
that is correct. It's what's on the phone.
If you could edit that so that it looks
we're on there. Great.
So that's 7 out of 7 for Lucy Porter. Yes. We've got that. Question six. What book is the stoner reading on the bed?
Oh, Finding Nemo.
It's called Little Nemo. But shall I give you
that's
that?
That's a point. That's a point, mate.
Giving it away. Through some revision. Okay, cool. Question 7, which is the final question.
Okay.
What did the Japanese little girls turn the evil spirit into?
A frog.
Yep, well done.
Boom, look at that.
Well, so 5 out of 7 for Alex, but if we were going double points for the correct answer for Lucy, that that we sort of gave
Lucy's won!
That's 5 as well. Double points! Yay!
Very happy with that. Very
excellent
happy.
Quiz. Well done, guys.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Thank you, Joe Foster.
Hi, guys. My name's Joe Foster. You might recognise me from the comedy podcast This Thing On.
Lucy, we're going to talk about Edinburgh. Edinburgh is upon us. Are you going up to Edinburgh this year?
No, I don't think I'll bother. Oh no, hang on. I am, of course. It's next week. I'm booked and everything. Yeah, I am doing a show at the Pleasance Courtyard. Delightful spot. And it's called Consequences, and it's on at 5:30. I'm presuming this is where I plug my show.
Oh yes, you plug.
Plug away now.
5:30 at the Pleasance Courtyard is my show. And it's, well, I'm about to preview it in the Comedia in Brighton. So we'll know by the end of tonight whether it's worth me going or whether I should just cancel it. I don't know what you'd do if you just phone up and go, listen, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
I know I've booked the room for a month and booked somewhere to stay and I've got the posters and everything, but I just can't be bothered.
Just change my mind this year.
I'm sure everyone in that financial situation would go, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the venues in Edinburgh are notoriously kind and lenient when it comes to, I mean, they practically give the money away. So
rooms are free, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and the accommodation. I mean, the people of Edinburgh would never wish to exploit.
No, exactly.
The thespians who come to their city. So yeah, no. I mean, I presume they'd just say, "Yeah, that's fine. Have all your money back. Don't worry about it."
How many have you done now?
576. Why in the Victorian times? I honestly don't know how I should count. I think this is my 11th. Yeah. Solo show, because I made a big thing of the last one being my 10th, and then I sort of halfway through I went, actually, is it my 10th? But I think I'd better stick to that. So this is my 11th solo show, but I've been going to the Edinburgh Festival for 25 years. 1991, as a fetus, I made my way out of my mother's womb straight into the Edinburgh Festival. But yeah, I won the competition to be one of the judges for the Perrier Award, as it was then. I won a competition in Time Out magazine, and I went up in 1991 when I was a little student and had such a good time that it changed my life. And I'd never looked back. I was like, right, comedy in some way is going to be my life.
And who won that year, and did you vote for them?
Yes, it was Steve Coogan and John Thompson. Right. And I very much lobbied for them. There was the head of the panel. Anyway, I probably shouldn't give away secrets. Is it like sort of official secrets where after a certain number of years you're allowed to reveal? But no, it was a very close run competition that year, and they were all amazing. And then the best newcomer was Harry Hill.
Wow.
I mean, imagine that. It was, but it was so good. I mean, I saw like hundreds of shows, because when you're the student, you know, reviewer person, they send you out to see everything and things in the most far-flung venues, and it was so fascinating, and it gave me an absolute passion for the festival.
Yeah, had you started performing by then?
No, I was sort of thinking about it, but I'd never had the guts to do it. And then I came back and sort of girded my loins after that. And
so quite soon after that?
It took me a couple of years, actually. I think 92, I may have stepped on the stage, but 94 was my first sort of proper gig. 1994, I did an open spot in Chester, and then I did a terrible student benefit night for Bosnia, for which I think we actually did more harm than good. because we were all... not all of us were terrible, but I was. And, it's been a long time in comedy for me.
Was it? Did it cover as much ground as it does now? I know this sounds like I'm going, what was it like?
It is. Tell me, Grandma.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, so at the moment, it's just, you know, you can walk out to everywhere's got, like, it's at Mexican restaurants.
No, I mean, at the time, of course, all the older comedians were saying, oh, it's ridiculous now. There's, you know, there's like 40 venues and, there's like... Because I found some of my old Fringe programmes and they are... It's like the opposite of the telephone directory. Like, you know, you look at the telephone directory now and there's nothing in it. And it used to be massive. It's like the other way around. They were like little leaflets. It was like a tiny little magazine. And there was, I was looking the other day, there was an ad of everything that was on at the Pleasance. And it was, you know, about 30 to 40 shows. Not even that. And I mean, to me, it's just grown ridiculously. I do feel... But I love it, so I'm happy that it gets bigger and bigger.
We have one last feature.
Lovely.
It is over to Producer Al for Producer Al's Crap Feature.
Producer Al's Crap Feature!
producer and grab picture.
It is actually quite like that.
Is it? It should be.
We just might replace it with you just saying that.
Okay, hello everybody. Time for this month's Producer Owl's Crap feature. Now, it's quite topical. We've just been talking about Edinburgh Festival. We're about to get there. You know, I don't normally like to date stamp these podcasts, but we are just about to start Edinburgh Fringe. Well, we have dated. I think when Angela Barnes was on, we did a spring quiz. Oh, that's about did it in October, so that was weird.
I think these things are perennial, though. People will enjoy this, even if they're listening to, even if you're listening to this, hello, in the year 2086.
Yeah, this is what it was like.
This is what it was like. Now Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival lasts all year long and encompasses the whole of Scotland.
We're actually in it. We're in it right now.
Venue 897.
So this is a quiz about Edinburgh. Mm. But we're Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I thought I'd come up with one about Edinburgh, quick quiz about Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Are we all allowed to participate?
No, this is going to be for Alex and Lucy.
Okay.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're head to head. It's the rematch after my crushing defeat.
Exactly. Lucy wants revenge.
Exactly. Yes. So it's surprising how few fun facts there are about Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So it's going to be a very short Producer Owls kind of feature. So I've got five questions.
Do we buzz
head to head? Five questions. Mm. Well, I think we should have you shout. I want you to shout something out as in you're buzzing in. I want it to be Fringe related. So, Lucy, what I'd like you to shout out for you is a flyer, madam.
Oh, very good. Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Alex, you need to shout out Bennett's in.
And if you're listening to this in 2086, Steve Bennett is now
still alive and reviewing. Yes,
hasn't aged.
So they are your buzzer words.
He doesn't age, actually. He is.
Okay, so question number one: there are only two events globally that sell more tickets than the Edinburgh Festival. One is the Olympics.
Oh.
What is the other?
Oh, Bennett's in.
Yeah.
World Cup.
It is the World Cup.
Wow.
I love the little ooh you threw in there as well.
I was trying to get into the character of Bennett being in.
That's how massive the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah. I thought you were going, that is how massive Steve Bennett is. He's a reviewer for people that don't know.
Yeah. Okay, question number two. Who is the only person to have won both Best Newcomer and the Main Comedy Award at the Fringe?
Flyer, madam.
Yes.
Is it Peter Kay?
Not.
Oh.
John Kearns. It's quite recent.
John Kearns, it is recent,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, we could have thrown that over. Would you have known
could
that?
Could have thrown it over, couldn't we? No, but I didn't.
I would have known it.
Yeah.
You're not playing.
No.
Hasn't your husband won? Didn't he win Newcomer once?
He has won Newcomer, yes. Yeah. And he's been nominated for the main prize. But yes, our trophy cabinet is lots of comedy awards that Justin Edwards is my husband, by the way, listeners. He did a character called Jeremy Lyon and he was in a sketch group called The Consultants. So he won the Best Newcomer with The Consultants and then he was nominated for the main prize for Jeremy Lyon. And our trophy cabinet is full of his comedy trophies and my quizzing trophies. Which is fine. That's the way around it should be.
As long as you've got the trophies.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
Yours might be bigger. So.
Yeah. I'm not going to get a trophy today then.
Question number three.
Let's go and get a trophy.
Yeah. That's sort of why I said it. If it looks like an empty bottle of mineral water, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. It still counts.
Question three. As well as the Fringe Festival, there are many other international festivals happening in Edinburgh during August.
There are.
Can one of you name... Can you name three of the other festivals?
Flyer, madam.
Yes.
Well, there's the International Festival.
Yes.
There is the Book Festival.
Yes.
And there is the... Oh, no, look at me now. Because the Film Festival used to be on, but it is now no longer on at the same period. So I am going to say the Edinburgh... the Edinburgh Buying Yourself Time Festival.
Is it
clock?
Oh, there's probably a food festival. Is there a food festival?
No, I've not got that written down.
No,
so
International Festival, Book Festival, and the clowning festival, the writing something, teaching festival. What's Joe, well, bless Joe's him, is trying to help me.
I'm trying to help.
He looks he looks like Lassie trying to signal there's an issue.
Joe, why don't you just go for
okay,
it?
Okay, go on, Joe, have a go, have a go.
Is it an art festival?
There is.
You were painting, I see.
The biggest digital arts festival.
But these small hands have no emphasis.
Well, yeah, we could have had TV
What a shame
festival.
This game's not for you.
The
TV festival, book festival, science festival, art festival, or the harp festival, International Harp Festival during August.
Quiz categories, well. Literature.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the harp.
I'm going to give Joe half a point for this
that's
one.
That's only fair.
Well, you can both have half a point for that one.
Okay,
I think.
That's
yeah, Lucy's going to get half.
When you say both, you mean Joe and Lucy?
Yeah, you're totally out of it, mate.
It's pretty good to be
Joe
in the big
jumped into the quiz. Question four. Okay. Okay, so to the nearest five, ooh, how many years ooh has the Fringe Festival been going
ooh
this year?
Oh, Bennett's in.
Ooh.
Yes.
Never stops being funny. Never stops being funny.
37.
No.
I think
no,
it's longer than that.
Let's Lucy jump in.
But I don't really know. It's surprisingly long. Mm. So you said that, but I reckon. I mean, it may even date back to, I'm going to say like 58.
More than that even, much more than that even.
Oh my God, is it like it was in the 30s and then
it
stopped?
It started post-war to cheer people up, post-war.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's been going 69 years.
Wow. Blimey, yeah. Doesn't it look good on it, eh?
Yeah. Wow. And the Edinburgh Festival, International Festival, has been going, I think, about 2 years longer than that, and then the Fringe Festival started 2 years after.
Well, jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah. All the performers that weren't big enough to go in the main festival, apparently. That's how
of course.
Yeah. All right. So far the scores are Alex has one, Lucy has a half, and Joe has a half.
Okay.
So it's kind of a strange scoring system at the moment, but we're getting there. So Alex is still ahead.
I don't know how.
You're kind of ahead in
Lucy was closest there, so maybe she gets half a point.
No,
then
it was
level
to within 5 years. So you did say to within 5 years.
Well, last
Lucy's
question
a stickler
then
for the rules.
I really am.
That's fine.
Because if the rules break down, then quizzing doesn't work.
Last question then. Okay. Now, I've done a little bit of research, and in 2016, how many shows are there with the title format, word, as in some kind of noun, the musical?
Oh, what a good question. Wow. Flyer Madam.
Yeah. I'm going to say this one within the nearest three.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's difficult to get an exact number on this one.
Okay, Flyer Madam.
Yep, go for it.
Within the nearest three, that suggests, I'm going to say 18.
I'm afraid that isn't within the
do
nearest
I get,
three.
Do I get a go?
Yeah, go for it. You can get half a feeling.
Got a good feeling about 26.
Way out.
Oh,
Lucy was much closer. It's 13.
Is it? Yeah, I suppose, actually. I mean,
something including Dog the Musical.
I thought there'd be fucking
Big the Musical. There's a lot of the musicals.
Yeah, I thought there'd be loads more of the musicals.
13's plenty. I think last year, really.
More than enough, some would say.
Last year there was 9. This year is 13, so it is on the rise.
Yeah.
The musical is on the rise.
Again, by 20, 80, whatever, it will be.
Yes.
We'll all be in a something musical.
This will
Steve
have been
Bennett
made
the
into
musical.
A musical.
Yeah.
Bennett's in the musical.
So the points at the end of the quiz: Alex wins with 1 point.
Yay!
And Lucy and Joe level on half.
Yeah,
there we go. Well, Joe even got one in a quiz he wasn't in. We got half a point there. Well done.
Standard.
And that is the end of this month's Producer Al's Cup feature. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Producer Al.
It wasn't crap.
Well,
it
this is what normally happens.
Informative,
right.
Yeah.
Cool.
He deliberately makes them good.
Yeah. Some people just can't bear to be crap. Yeah.
Just something I threw together.
This is our Edinburgh Fringe special. So we thought we'd give a few shout-outs to some comedy shows that we would...
Are you guys yourselves not participating this year?
No, we're not up this year. Producer Al is up.
Working on shows.
What shows are you working on, Producer Al?
Right, I'll plug my...
Go away.
Not that I'm on, but that I'm working with. So I'm going to go through them in time order, I think. It's the easiest way for me to remember. The Mash House... Laura Lex at 2:15 every day.
Lovely.
Yeah, and then go see that. And then also go see Rhys James at 4:45, Pleasance Beside every day.
Lovely.
Colin Holt, Gethy Colin Holt show at 7 p.m.
So
Pleasance Below.
Well, these are all very good. These are all very good.
I've seen all the previews. They're very funny. Everyone should go. And also Gethy Lloyd Griffiths' show at 8:30 every day at Pleasance. Either it's called This or That, and I can't exactly
remember which one we're in. They're next to each other anyway. So
they're right next to each other. You'll find them.
Go to this and the that.
That's why Pleasance in it.
But go see those shows. They're all fantastic. Yes.
Very good. What are you going to go and see then?
Mr. Joe?
I have been slightly less prepared than Alex and have written down shows, but sometimes I've got a...
Oh, no.
Same phone.
Here we go. Same phone, same technology.
I'm going to plug the guys who are in the Laughing Horse Free Fringe and other Free Fringes because I like, you know, going to give them a plug. They're good guys. Ian Lane is doing a show called Aloof at 7:30 in a venue that I have not written down, but it's Aloof, A-L-O-O-F. Ian Lane, he's very good. And then there's Richard Todd, who's doing The Cellar, which is at 3:45. I didn't notice that before. 4th to the 14th, 3:45. It's going to be a nice lunchtime crowd. We did a show at 12:30. It was fine. It's going to have a great time. Richard Todd, very good comedian. And then finally, Sunil Patel, who is on at The Cellar. All right. Same venue. And he's at 2:30 p.m.
Love your lunchtime shows.
I love the lunchtime show because then you don't feel sad / anxious all day long.
Get it over
and done with.
Wake
go
up
for a
late,
beer.
Done. Alex, who are you promoting?
I would like to give a plug to some previous guests of our podcast. Zoe Lyons' show Little Misfit at the Gilded Balloon at 7 p.m. Phil Gerrard show Hypocrite, 6 p.m. Pleasant Cellar. Rachel Paris show Best Laid Plans at the Jack Dome in the Pleasant Dome at 6:50. And not a previous guest, but a good friend of mine who'll get upset if I don't give his show a plug. Sean McLaughlin, Pleasance Courtyard, Kamikaze, 8:30 p.m.
Brilliant. And Lucy, when's your show on again?
My show is on at 5:30 in the Pleasance Fourth, which is in the Pleasance Courtyard, and it's called Consequences.
Brilliant. Anyone else you want to give a shout out to?
No, that is the show to see, especially not at that time.
Well,
there's a lot on around that to see, actually. In a way, it's a shame because I'm on at sort of roughly the same time as people like Susan Cowman and Sarah Kendall, who are people I love very much. So I'm sad my show isn't on at the same time as theirs because it means I won't be able to see them, but it does mean that socially there'll be people I know and like around in the courtyard at the same time as me, so you know it's fine. Also, who else would I say? Tom Neenan. I haven't come armed with time, but I think it's good to make people work a little.
Yeah.
So
spoon fed them.
Frankly, these people are lazy. Tom Neenan, I think you should go and see. Danielle Ward, I think you should go and see. I met someone the other night who is doing his first Edinburgh, and it's something. And he wrote it down for me because I said, "Oh, I'll go and see it." So it's called Yokes Night. And it's at 2:15 in Pleasance Bunker 1. Brilliant. So that's the only show that I do know where and what time it's on, and I have absolutely no idea of anything about it except that there was a man who was working in a bar who was really nice, and he's in that show.
Well, that's the thing about the Fringe, isn't it? Perfect. Go and see some stuff you haven't heard of. That's the whole point, isn't it? Totally what I do.
There were also some nice people who were doing some improv, and they went to UCL. And I've said I've got their detail somewhere as well. But yeah, I always like that. I like just.
But don't worry about that. No.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be brilliant.
Well, I hope you have a great Edinburgh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for coming down.
It's been such a pleasure. I've had an absolute blast. That's what we aim for. Quizzing disappointment. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been laughter and tears.
How did it compare to Mastermind?
Yeah. I mean, in every way it was inferior, but nonetheless, I am enjoying
even
myself.
With Joe's phone questions. I think that is us for another month. Have a good time at Edinburgh, everyone. We will also be releasing an Edinburgh short, This Thing On podcast, where producer Al, who is up at the festival, will be chatting to some comedians. Those names will be surprises for you, so you have to listen. That's been it from me, Alex Petrovich, which is my name. Thank you, Joe Foster.
You're welcome.
Thank you, producer Al.
Cheers.
And our amazing guest, Lucy Porter.
I went from fantastic to amazing in the course of this podcast. I've done very well.
We'd just like to give a quick big thank you to Andy Theodorou, who is our online leg of this thing, and he helps us with all our iTunes stuff, because that's not our forte. We'd also like to give a big thank you for Comedia for letting us record here again. Fantastic venue, and you should all go and check some comedy out here, and the cinema, but mostly comedy.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.